You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the New Churches Podcast. Ed Stetzer here. We're talking about disciple-making strategies for new churches. Two guests today, Chuy Rodriguez, born and raised in Mexico City, now live in Virginia, and heads her Hispanic church planning for the New City Network, previously did so for Acts 29. Catherine Renfro works at the North American Mission Board, director of evangelism there. Planted a church. Her and her husband planted a church in August 2021 in Alpharetta, Georgia. Catherine's a graduate from Southeastern Seminary and been serving on full-time ministry since 22. Really has a passion for seeing men and women come to faith in Christ. We're having some conversation today specifically about disciple making. And now it's probably worth noting the language here. So discipleship, we often think of as post-conversion spiritual growth and maturity, which is great. Nothing wrong with using it that way. Disciple making can have a broader term that disciple making includes sharing the gospel, seeing people come to faith in Christ and growing in their faith. So we're going to kind of use both of those terms broadly here. I recognize people really want to parse through the language, and I get that. But let's use more commonly so what it means to disciple making, people coming to faith in Christ and then growing their faith journey. So Chuy, I want to start with you. In your network, you're at New City Network. In what ways are churches in your network effectively making disciples? What are you seeing?
So the churches that I mostly work with are Hispanic, and I've seen them utilize, the stereotypical tools that we have for discipleship, like classes, Sunday school, small groups, all kinds of those things. And I think those have been effective to some degree. But the emphasis that I've seen being the most effective with some of the Hispanic churches that I've worked with is translating all that, let's say, academic education into practical implementation. It's complementing those elements or typical tools or traditional tools with actual serving the community, church-wide events. And Hispanics are great at doing church-wide events, especially church plants, mobilizing the entire church to do either, food distributions, open, like literally street evangelism, door-to-door evangelism. So I believe that has been probably the thing that I've seen having the most impact in when it comes to people's growth. It's not just acquiring information, but also now putting it into practice, having to defend your faith, having to even counsel or advise people on the spot on some of the implications of the gospel on day-to-day stuff. I think that has been one of the most effective tools for discipleship that I've seen within the Hispanic community. And another element that probably must be noted is that Hispanics or resources in Spanish are growing, and we have now more availability to those. But typically, it has not been the case, especially in the States, that we have plenty of books or courses or things like that. So there is a certain move towards doing rather than just relying on reading or courses or things like that. So one of those things is that we have to rely on what is it that we can do now to put our faith in practice in order for us to grow in our walk with Christ. So that is something that I currently see. And on that same note, there are now more resources available for Hispanics, and they are now joining at a higher rate seminaries and courses and networks. And that is also very encouraging.
I love that. Now, Catherine, at the beginning, I made the caveat that people are going to define and describe different ways. And I give you complete freedom to describe or define. We all want to see people come to faith in Jesus and grow in their faith. So Talk to us a little bit about what you see as the relationship between evangelism and discipleship in the new church as you would best articulate it.
Absolutely. Ed, you made a great distinction because oftentimes we do talk about evangelism and discipleship as though it has to be one or the other. The whole point of discipleship is going deeper in our faith, growing stronger in our faith as we learn to become more like Jesus. But I think we're never more like Jesus than we're engaging in serving people like Jesus served people mm-hmm. in an effort to share the hope of the gospel with people just like Jesus did. And so those two things, I don't think you can have discipleship, true discipleship, without evangelism. I don't think you can have evangelism without discipleship. So you need both of those. And I always go back really to Jesus's words in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when he says, "Hey, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." You know, he gives us this invitation as he saves us and calls us to follow him. He gives us this invitation into a mission to be a part of the work that he's doing to change lives as we serve, as we pour out, as we give. But we do so in an effort to point people to Jesus. You know, anything that we do in his name, you know, is a part of pointing people to him. So being able to use opportunities, things that we've learned as we've studied scripture, and then we apply those. But we do that because we want people to see Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. And so that's why I would say discipleship and evangelism go hand in hand.
Yeah. And I think ultimately again, it's an imperfect phrase, but the language, but disciple making helps me sort of see both of those. And as I've looked out over a few decades of church planning, one of the things I've seen is that the bifurcation of evangelism and discipleship, which is actually very natural. It actually has a lot to do with the history of Billy Graham was a significant part of that. He brought in Dawson Trotman and what that ultimately, how those things work together. So it became, you know, evangelism, then following the, following that came, you know, sharing how to grow as a Christian, follow-up, if you will. But discipleship is not follow-up. I think discipleship is calling people to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it starts, the disciple making journey starts at the even sharing the good news of the gospel with people, sharing what it means to follow Jesus. So again, people, again, you have to be careful because I've written that discipleship begins before conversion. And I would say probably today, I'd say it a little differently. I'd say disciple making includes conversion and spiritual growth and ultimately multiplication. We want to multiply disciples. I think that makes a difference. Catherine, back to you, and then I want to come to Julie as well in just a second. But there are different approaches to church-based discipleship strategies, some small groups, others talking about one-on-one discipleship. When you're looking at new churches, and you guys work a lot with new churches, what have you seen to be some of the most effective approaches in new churches?
Yeah, I would say you see one-on-one discipleship and group discipleship, and I don't think that you can choose one over the other. I think both are equally important. Speaking just from our context alone, you know, Hope Church began as a small group of people that were doing life together, that were studying scripture together, that were serving together, but then also going out. And so there was this discipleship, this disciple-making process that was taking place that resulted in multiplication. But then what we also saw happening within these small group settings is that relationships were being built, and out of that, people would start meeting up one-on-one for more in-depth discipleship as well. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think relationships are the foundation of discipleship. And relationships, building relationships with one another, and discipling others in those relationships to go out to live life on mission, to follow Jesus. I think it happens in both of those contexts. And so starting with a strategy where it's actually important. You know, it's something that you're talking about, something you're teaching people to be a part of, and then just letting it organically build from there. You'll see it take shape, different shapes over time.
Yeah, and I think it does tend to, particularly as the new church, you start with a new church, it might be, you know, me discipling three people as a pastor. And then that new church grows. It does take on structure. All living things, when they become more complex, take on structure. So it might be, I continue the culture, as you mentioned, I continue the organic nature, your words were, of that disciple making. And I help people, you know, to use a cliche, to help people move from sitting in rows to sitting in circles so they can have that life on life. Discipleship makes the difference. And ultimately, we want them to be disciples on mission, sharing the gospel. Catherine, I know that's something you're passionate about there. You lead this, the effort. So how do we see people who become disciples become disciple makers who themselves mm-hmm. disciple others? What does that look like process-wise?
Mm-hmm. I think we go back to the model that Jesus set. You know, when you look at the life of Jesus and what he did with the disciples, once he called them to follow him, he taught them, and then he modeled for them what it looks like to serve people and also to share about the kingdom of God to people, to share the gospel with people. And then he sent them out to do that. I think the same thing has to happen in our context, like teach people what it looks like to share the gospel, teach them how to share the gospel, model that for them, and then give them opportunities and really challenge them to go out and do it. You know, one of the greatest things that we started doing is in our small group settings, we would leave time at the end of every small group just to ask people, hey, did you get to have a gospel conversation this past week with someone? Or did you attempt to have a gospel conversation? Or maybe did you just see an opportunity that you completely missed? And so as we started asking people to really identify people in their life that don't know Jesus that they can share with, and challenging them to look for those opportunities and do that, it was really interesting, because we would come back, we would ask the question, hey, who'd you share with or try to? And, you know, I remember the first time we did that, and there was like, it was like crickets in the room. Nobody said anything, you know, and there's just like this, almost as though they were intimidated to try. But we would share stories as the community group leaders. We would share stories of opportunities that we had to share the gospel, or at least try, you know, and we were also very honest when we just like missed opportunities. And so as they started seeing that, I'll never forget the first person who said, I want to be a part of what God's doing in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And this girl went out, and she told her friend about Jesus. And she said, hey, I got tripped up and I'm sure I stumbled through it. But she said, at the end of it, I just invited my friend to church. And her friend came to church with her and ended up giving her life to Christ. And then from there, so we're talking about that story. Those in the community group are seeing this played out. Another student wants to be a part of that too. So they go out and they start attempting to have gospel conversations. And you just see like this fire that was ignited as people started realizing that, hey, not only can God use me to reach other people with the gospel, but he will use me if I'm just simply willing to be available. And just the number of people that started getting to share the gospel with their friends and family members. And then we saw an entire family come to know Jesus because one person in the community group said, I want to be used by God. And she went out and shared the gospel, and the whole family ended up coming to know Jesus. So good. I think it's modeling it and then challenging them and then giving opportunities to share stories and celebrate those attempts.
Love that. So good. So we're talking disciple making is the breadth of this. We're talking about people coming to faith in Christ, growing mm-hmm. in their faith in Christ, and then sharing their faith in Christ and multiplying mm-hmm. as yeah. disciples. Chewy, as you, son of Bart, worked with church planters and church plants, what exhortation do you give them? Because a lot of times church plants, if they don't grow in maturity, they can become a, you know, mile wide and an inch deep. I know that's a concern for you and for many of us. So what ultimately would it be, the advice you would give? What would be the advice you would give to church plants to have a disciple-making culture?
Yeah, the most common thing I've seen is, as the leader or as the leadership of your church, you need to model what it means to be a disciple and to disciple others. So intentionality would be something that I would exhort everyone to to do. I've seen pastors who preach a lot about certain things, but they are not the first ones doing it. And I would encourage pastors to be the first ones, to be the ones that take people under their wing, walk with people, practice vulnerability, things of that nature. I would probably say to most pastors, just be what you preach. I mean, of course, that's not perfectly done, and none of us can do it perfectly. But the churches that I've seen that have the most effective discipleship are the ones where the pastor or the leadership is the most intentional about doing that. And I would also say, and in my observation, there is no greater growth than sharing the gospel with other people. I would point to the fact that the moments where I've grown the most and where my churches that I've worked with have grown the most is when they are called or challenged to share their faith. It's literally putting your words in action, right? We can't say that we love God unless we love others. So I would say this is a test. Like, this is how we grow, by not just acquiring information, but giving it to others. So yeah, I would say or recommend being very intentional, having churches be intentional about engaging their community. And I believe that that's Jesus' call for us in Luke chapter 9, to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. I think that one element of discipleship is to call people to be uncomfortable, to call people to be in sometimes difficult situations. And I, in fact, believe that that is one of the reasons why the church of the first century grew so much, because they thrived through pain and suffering and persecution. So there's an element that pain and being uncomfortable plays in our discipleship that I think it's important.
Good. Good, important conversation today, and hopefully food for thought for you as a church planner or a church planning leader about the path to greater maturity in a congregation, disciple making from sharing the gospel, people responding to the gospel, growing in the truths of the gospel, and then multiplying the gospel as well. Thanks for listening to another episode of newchurches.com.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.